Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Doug Haar. Doug volunteers hundreds of hours each race season. He is the voice and the face of Copper Dog. He is selfless with his time. He makes the time necessary to guide and teach so that the Copper Dog continues to grow as an organization and a world-class event. If you know an incredible volunteer like Doug, go to coppershores.org/dogood and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today on this Sunday morning. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Glad that you are along. We are brought to you by the Portage, by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. I still haven't gotten completely used to that. The Copper Shores Community Health Foundation online at coppershores.org. We've talked a couple of times on the program now about the Keweenaw Heartlands project, which is a huge collection of tracts of land that was going up for sale a couple of years ago, and there was fear that it might be taken over by private entities and be not available to the public, maybe even developed in ways that might not be compatible with what residents in the area would like. And the Nature Conservancy, a large national organization, stepped in, put up the money to buy the property, and now is in the process, first of all, of managing what they own, and secondly, of trying to pass it on to others. And Julia Peterson is their local project manager. And I thought, as we head towards spring and we're starting to get outdoors, Julia, let's get an update on how things are going. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
The project has made some progress in terms of a large tract of this is now going to be taken in and put under state protection.
That's the anticipation. The state is working, the state DNR, Department of Natural Resources, they're working hard on securing the funding, and it's looking positive for about 10,000 acres or one-third of the Heartlands footprint.
That is kind of around and then to the east of Fort Wilkins.
Right, so south of Estevant Pines and east of Lake Manganese.
So that's a big area there. I looked at the map that you showed me. There's other area there that the state is not taking on, or at least not anticipating taking on. This is not yet a fully done deal, is it?
Right, it's not yet fully done, nope.
So we don't want to presuppose too much here. But there are some other areas they're not taking in. Yeah. Why did they choose areas A and leave out areas B, C, and D?
So the total acreage of the Heartlands is 32,500 approximately, give or take. And they're looking at the 10,000 acres furthest east because that fits in really well with the land that they currently have in their management and ownership, Fort Wilkins, and then the other forest land around the tip of the Keweenaw. That really completes that footprint for them. It's a wonderful addition, I'm assuming, to their park system.
I would think so.
And it'll make it just a fantastic park or recreation area for the state. The other two-thirds, we're looking at transition into local decision-making and management, and that would be a new local government body. The DNR's, you know, involved in all of these conversations. They've been a wonderful partner along the way, but that local component is important to the project overall.
Well, and we've talked about who might take this on. Keweenaw County could take this on, perhaps, but that's a big job for a county of not too many people. They have a lot of obligations already. You said a new entity might be necessary for this. Describe what that would be like.
Yeah, so when we started out this project, we did a lot of public engagement very early on, and what we heard over and over again is that there was a desire to have the accountability and transparency that comes with public governance, but people really wanted this to be an independent body that oversaw this forest. And so we have a 27-member community advisory committee, and those individuals, including a couple of county commissioners and other public officials, nonprofit, local residents, are on that committee. And what they've created and designed is a governance structure that is public. It is would be made up of five members, elected members, newly elected members. These would be Keweenaw County residents who would run for office, essentially.
Okay.
And they would be elected and put in place to make decisions and manage this portion of the Heartlands Forest.
How would it be funded?
It would be funded through revenue generated in the forest itself. So there are a few components to that that we're working through right now. We're looking at options for a working forest, so harvesting timber. That would be, you know, down the line. We need some regrowth of those trees, but we do have some stands that we could conduct some timber activity on. Carbon project we're looking at as well. And then we're looking at options for, you know, potential recreation.
Describe carbon project.
Yeah, carbon project. So this is what you hear about, carbon credits, right?
Right,
so
right.
You,
yeah, and this gets very confusing.
It gets really confusing.
Very confusing.
And I'll try not to go into too much detail and lose your audience or put them to sleep.
But basically, if I'm a big business and I'm putting smoke into the air and something that is damaging the atmosphere because there's a lot of carbon in it, I can offset that if I have, if government requires that I meet a certain level. I can offset that by supporting the creation of green stuff elsewhere that then takes the carbon that I'm putting in the air out of the air and balances it out.
Right. And you have to ensure that that is additional savings, right? So a carbon project has a whole process behind it that really takes into account what is the carbon being sequestered. So that's what happens as trees grow. They sequester carbon. What is being stored. So that's, you know, once trees are grown or what's there already, there's carbon trapped in those trees. And it takes all of that together. It compares it to what would happen in an alternative scenario. For example, if these lands were just transitioned and cut unsustainably, right? And it compares those two, and it comes up with the carbon savings, so to speak, and assigns credits to those savings. And that is what those companies that are releasing carbon, they're essentially purchasing those credits to offset their carbon emission.
So you would have somebody who would basically be a sales rep who would go around to these companies and say, hey, got some carbon.
Somewhat like that.
Got
that
some
wouldn't,
carbon
that
for
wouldn't
you
be a TNC employee. It would be a totally independent endeavor in conjunction with this new government entity. But yes, that's the gist of what would happen. And if they're able to sell those credits, then there would be revenue generated.
Are there local entities who could take advantage of that? Or would this be larger facilities outside the area?
My understanding is if an organization is interested in purchasing those credits and they have the dollars to purchase them, then you can purchase those credits.
You can purchase those credits. Yeah. I marvel at how that all works.
Yeah.
And I marvel at people who understand how that all works.
It's a work in progress, and it's a changing field. So we're keeping up and working hard to ensure that this advisory committee, this community advisory committee, and we have a subcommittee focused on the business end. They're very focused on the dollars and cents of, you know, sustaining this forest long term. We're working on educating them on carbon. Many of them already know about it, so they may educate us as well.
Well, and it like I say, it's a complex thing, but it's something that's become a big thing, in particularly in major industry over the last decade or so. You said that this group that you're looking at putting together, this oversight board, would be Keweenaw County residents, and it would be Keweenaw County residents who would vote on this?
Yes, exactly.
Because it's in Keweenaw County.
Because it's in Keweenaw County, yes.
That would make sense, even though it's obviously of interest to all of us in the Copper Country.
Right.
It's the people whose backyard it is in that should have
local control.
Control over it. We talked to Julia Peterson in the past about perhaps selling some of this land as well for development purposes that might, as I recall us talking about it, development that might complement the community
right.
there.
Right. Yeah. So right now, the bulk of the land, we're looking at public governance management decision-making between the DNR and the local entity. One of the aspects of this project, fairly complex project overall, in addition to thinking about the business plan and how are we going to make sure that this forest can sustain itself, we're also thinking about resources management. We're looking at the total footprint of the Heartlands, and we're thinking about which areas are super special and must be highly, highly protected, which areas are eligible and good candidates for working forest or for a carbon project, and a very, very small amount of acreage. We're looking at which, you know, these might be areas that have high impact human activity already, right next to a roadway, very small amount of acreage, might be candidates to help the community to solve or resolve some of the challenges that they face. So early in that public engagement process, there were lots of projects, you know, identified. Everyone had ideas about what the community's needs were. And so we want to provide some way for that to happen. We're still figuring that out. We're working with, again, a subcommittee of our community advisory committee, really digging into the land base, the, you know, water base, and looking at what that might be, and defining what we mean when we say, you know, the purpose would be for community development. So no major, nothing happening.
What were some of the suggestions that people brought in?
Well, you know, there's a need for a helicopter pad, for example, or affordable workforce housing, emergency services, those sorts of things, things that would turn around and serve the community right away.
Okay, as opposed to another restaurant or a motel or something, we didn't hear a lot of that?
No, and you know, TNC wants to transition this land to public governance and then put it in public governance where then there can be public engagement about the right answer in this regard.
Yeah, and I've also seen over the years that sometimes when you get these kinds of parcels, these are disparate pieces of property. And sometimes there's a little one sitting over here and a little one sitting over there that aren't attached. And it doesn't make sense to try to keep and manage them in the first place.
Yeah, for the most part, this land is highly continuous, with minor exceptions. But for the most part, and that was what was appealing to TNC in the first place, was that continuity and the biodiversity that you could maintain this forest in that, you know, continuous whole.
Well, and those of us who have worked in real estate over the years understand the concept that once you split land up, it hardly ever comes back together.
Right. It's very hard to bring it back together. Yes.
You are not the only organization that is working with conserving land on the Keweenaw Peninsula. Have you been in touch with the other organizations that have preserves there and reserves and areas that are set aside? And have you been able to work with them on anything?
So as part of our community advisory committee, we have Keweenaw Land Trust is represented on that advisory committee, and they are very much involved in the work that we're doing, and we certainly, you know, support the work that they're doing to preserve land in the Keweenaw. The DNR is another big protector of land in the Keweenaw, and they are intimately involved in this project. And, you know, we are really focused. We're going to maintain the preserves that we have. We have about 3,000 acres of preserves in the Keweenaw itself, and we've been present in the Keweenaw since 1982. And then with the Heartlands transitioning into public governance, we feel good about where that's going. And then, of course, we have additional partners in the community who are working on preservation.
As this is all going on in the background, there are people who use this land. It's open, it's available, most of it at least is, I understand, for recreational purposes. We're transitioning from a winter in which we didn't get to do a lot of recreating. Into a summer in which we hope we can do a lot of recreating.
Right.
What types of opportunities are there on this land in the Keweenaw for people to get out and enjoy it?
Well, we have miles of ATV and ORV trails that cross the Heartlands and snowmobile trails as well. And we're really proud of that. That was part of why we became involved in the project in the first place. We heard loud and clear that people were very concerned about losing that public access to those trails if this land were to transition and become privatized or fragmented. So we, you know, we have close relationships with the ATV club, the snowmobile club. We encourage people to get out on those trails. We ask them to stick to the trails.
Please do.
Because that, you know, limits the footprint and also ensures that if they have any issues, they can be gotten to by emergency services and so on. So there's a safety component there. It is commercial forest land for the most part, with small exceptions. And on commercial forest land, you can hunt, trap, and fish. You have guaranteed foot access. And then, you know, certainly you can take your ATV on the trails where cars are permitted. You can take your car or truck into those areas. But we do ask people to not camp overnight. And we ask no fires, no fireworks, no dumping of materials, just really demonstrating respect for the land and ensuring that, you know, the other people that access it and certainly the animals yes. that want to pass through there, that everyone has safe passage and access.
And certainly whatever you take in with you, take out with you.
Please.
Because we don't want to see it along the side of the trail.
Right. That's, someone has to pay to pick that up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And every year I know the Copper Harbor people in the spring, they put together a thing where they go out and they have to pick up all the trash that
right.
people left last summer.
Right.
And it's a shame that they have to do that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so simple to not throw it away.
So simple. Yes.
So is there any way that you can find out where these trails are? Is there a map?
The ATV Club and the Snowmobile Club, but Keweenaw ATV, I should say, and the Keweenaw Snowmobile Club both have trail maps. They're, you know, lovely maps, and they demonstrate where people can go and where they shouldn't go. If you encounter a closed gate, there's a reason that the gate is closed, and we ask that people respect those gates. They either mean that you're crossing onto somebody else's private property, or they mean that the road is not in good condition. You're going to see that in the spring. We generally close gates so that the road can dry out before ATVs and cars go on them. And so we just ask people to be respectful of that. If they see something that they don't like, please contact us.
Well, it can be frustrating. Your favorite trail, you like to go this way. It's the way to get back to where you started from. And all of a sudden, there's a gate closed.
Right. That can be frustrating. Absolutely.
You don't do that just on a whim.
We do not do that on a whim. Believe me, we don't. We want to provide that public access, and we want to support our, you know, ATV and ORV and snowmobile users.
So if you see an area that is blocked off, please respect that.
Yes.
And you know, if you have any questions, call.
Yeah.
And ask.
Yep.
And say what's going on, and it probably won't be permanent.
Right. Probably not. Rare exceptions.
Once that trail dries out, and I'm sorry, you can't go splashing through the mud puddles.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Once that trail dries
the
out,
road.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's the balance.
That is the balance
that you have to keep here. You want this land to be wild. You mentioned the animals. It's wonderful nature territory for wildlife. We have a right. We're wildlife too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're animals.
Right.
We're part of the ecosystem. We have a right to use it, but we have to be responsible about this. How do you draw that balance between saving the beaver dam or building a bridge across a creek for an ATV trail?
And having that impact. Yeah. It's a delicate balance. This land, the community has been clear that they have four priorities, and those priorities are to, you know, manage the natural features on the land, think about the cultural and historic nature of the land, to make sure to take care of the infrastructure and provide ongoing public access, and make sure you maintain tax revenues. And those four things are always in tension, and really it's about keeping it in a healthy tension. So the way that we balance it at, you know, the Nature Conservancy in terms of the Heartlands Project is through that community advisory committee, bringing, you know, we take care of the day-to-day management, and we make those decisions. But when we find that we're encountering a decision that will have a long-term precedent and involve, you know, in the future, the DNR or this local government entity that's being created, we bring it to that community advisory committee, and we have those conversations and make those hard choices, you know, with their recommendations in mind. So there's no perfect answer.
No, there never is.
But we do our best.
Somebody will be happy.
Somebody
will be disappointed.
Won't. Right. And we've made decisions that, you know, we've had to make them in the moment, and we're happy with those decisions. But as we've learned more, we've, you know, changed those decisions based off of the evolution of events and understanding of the situation. So just being really willing to learn and to understand and to work with the community, I think, is the best route.
Well, and let's face it, this was a standing start.
Yes.
For the Nature Conservancy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if you took this over and had to build everything from ground zero in terms of your management of this.
Right. So we have management practices, and, you know, we We, for example, we conduct inventories on lands when we acquire them. Typically, we don't conduct inventories in one quick summer, which is what we did with the Heartlands.
Because it takes a long time to count those trees.
It usually takes about 5 years. And so we are using our typical TNC management practices, and yet we're working really closely with the community. And that always brings a factor of, you know, it can change and shift and adjust moment to moment, but that's the exciting part of this project.
What kind of things do you inventory when you review property such as this?
We have spent the last many, many months, including last summer, inventorying natural features on the land. So looking at the biodiversity aspects, understanding what's there that's really special. And that's been in partnership with the Michigan Natural Features Inventory. They helped us to
There's
inventory.
A Michigan Natural there Features sure Inventory?
Is. Yes, yes. They are keeping track of all of those natural features. What is special? We also looked at cultural and historical components to try to understand areas of potential significance so that we can make sure to protect them. We looked at infrastructure. We counted our miles of roads and all of our culverts and assessed all of the condition of those. And then, of course, we looked at trees, timber potential, carbon potential, and so on. So we have been very busy, and that information helps us to understand the potential in terms of what needs to be protected. What we are, you know, really excited about might need some interpretation, what we want to talk through with the Community Advisory Committee in terms of what might potentially generate revenue, like a carbon project.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned the cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Keweenaw Indian community, their reservation is in Baraga County. It's
yes.
a long ways from this.
Yes.
But many years ago, this was their land.
Summer land, yeah.
This was
yeah.
their territory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are things all mm-hmm. across the Keweenaw Peninsula mm-hmm. that mean a great deal
yes.
to the members of the Keweenaw Indian community.
Yes.
Have you been working with them?
Yes. Yes. So these are part of their treaty lands, and we have been working with KBIC, Keweenaw Bay Indian Community. Bridget LaPointe Dunham is part of the Community Advisory Committee, and we've had members of the KBIC staff be involved with the subcommittee work that I mentioned earlier. And it's an ongoing conversation as we move through this project, and we are working to be as respectful and as welcoming and to, you know, understand this land through their perspective and ensure that what is important is protected.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things that I think people probably don't understand as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are sites, Native American sites here in the Copper Country that are under the protection of the KBIC
mm-hmm.
that nobody knows about.
Right.
And they can't tell people, because if they tell people where they are, some oaf goes and pilfers it.
Someone will go there, yes, yes.
And when I learned that shortly after I moved here, I thought, gosh, what a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And it's a situation that's also in flux,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes a new site is discovered.
Right, right. And that's what we're working through. What is the process if something were to be discovered? And we are not seeking to discover anything, right? We are seeking
You don't have archaeologists out there sifting?
No, we are seeking to protect for and with KBIC. So right now, we are at a place where we understand, generally speaking, areas of significance, but we don't know sites, and nor do we need or want to know unless there's a need to protect. So that conversation is, you know, that's an ongoing conversation with KBIC.
So they're going to be kept in the loop, and I suppose
yep.
you
yep.
kind of tell them and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this here, and they can step up and say, wait a minute.
Right. Right.
There's a reason that we want to keep this
yes.
separate.
Yes.
And you're certainly going to honor that.
We're very open, and we will honor that, yes.
So this ascertainment process has been going on, this thinking about what the future holds going on. What about people who are thinking, I'd like to see it done this way, and I'd like to see it done that way? How can members of the public be involved in this ongoing discussion?
So every time our community advisory committee meets, which is approximately quarterly, we also hold a public meeting as well. And that public meeting is promoted on our Heartlands web page. And that Heartlands web page sits on the Keweenaw Community Foundation's website. So that is www.keweenawcommunityfoundation.org. And that is hosted on that website because it's just easier for us to keep up on all the project comings and goings, and we can very easily promote the public meetings.
Well, and you're, let's face it, you guys are temporary.
Yes, we are temporary
owners. Your
hope,
at least, is you are temporary owners. Putting up a whole dedicated website to what you're doing doesn't make a lot of sense because in a couple of years, theoretically, you might want to have to just take it down.
Right. And so the Keweenaw Community Foundation, also involved in this project and sits on the Community Advisory Committee, they've been wonderful partners in helping us to communicate out information. So those public meetings are on that webpage, the Heartlands portion of the KCF website. And people can come to those meetings, ask questions, and they do. People show up. Lots of people show up, which
is
phenomenal. And they ask really great questions, and they provide really, thoughtful insights. In terms of, as you mentioned, I'd like to see this. What about that? In addition to those public meetings, once this land transitions into the local portion, it will be a public government structure, right? So there will be public engagement opportunities.
Yeah, that board that we mentioned will be meeting. It will be having public hearings. Mm-hmm. It will be gathering information. And as ideas come up for doing this, that, or the other thing, it'll all be made public. And transparency, you said, is the key.
Absolutely. And so we anticipate that, people will have a say in what happens there. And we're working hard not to get too far ahead of ourselves and to make sure that public engagement component is key. On the DNR side, those approximately 10,000 acres, they are working to kick off their public engagement for what they currently own in the tip of the Keweenaw and then the additional point project in the Keweenaw. So
Julia Peterson, I got to cut you off.
Sure.
We're at the end of the segment here. Julia Peterson from the Nature Conservancy, thank you for the update and continued best wishes as you work with this project.
Thank you so much.